So we often hear about the paradox of the gospel. And it's clearly on display here with Luke's version of the Beatitudes, as he also gives us the woes in addition to those blesseds. He's also on display the two paths that we also find throughout the scriptures. The two paths are placed before us, one of life and one of death. And we see in these Beatitudes, in these blessings, these woes, of the future hope for those who are suffering now, and the future woe for those who are blessed and enjoying the fruits of the earth now. It's a good reminder for us, especially when we read this in light of the first reading from St. Paul, this chapter 3 of Colossians, a beautiful passage where he's reminding us that we should be oriented towards the Lord. Think of what is above, not what is on earth. If you were raised with Christ, seek what is above. He's writing to a church, a community of believers, who in chapter 2, as we read a little bit from these past couple of days, this false philosophy had been infiltrating into their community. So he's writing against that, reminding them of the reality of the new life in Christ that they received through their baptism. So we die with Christ in our baptism, but we are raised with him. And that's what it says, if you were raised, seek what is above. And put to death all of these deathly things. He highlights mainly sexual immorality and then sins of the tongue. He could be writing to us today in this day. The prevalence of these two sins, these two groups of sins, not just outside the church, but inside the church as well. Remember, he's writing to the church, reminding them to put to death those things that they had promised to die to when they became Christian. And I think one way we can look at this, when we think of the liturgy, when he's instructing us, encouraging us to seek what is above, to have our lives properly oriented towards God, of the things of heaven, and not to be downcast to the things of this world. You know, the historical posture of the Mass, like after the readings, when the priest moves to the altar for the offertory and the consecration, is that we would all be facing the same direction. It's called ad orientem. That we're all facing or waiting for a Christ who is to come, as he says, when Christ appears. That's what the whole point of facing together, facing the East, the real East or liturgical East, is that we're awaiting the coming of Christ. And the danger when Mass is celebrated all facing each other the entire time is that we can be satisfied with this, that we think that we've already accomplished, and we begin to be comfortable here, and we want to make it fun and exciting. St. Paul is reminding us we must put to death everything in this life so that we can live forever with him in the next. It's put to death. That's where we get the notion of mortification. Where daily we're thinking about our lives, our vices, our imperfections. What can I do? If I'm stuck in these patterns of these sexual sins or these sins of the tongue, what can I do to put those to death? Primarily the church speaks of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and not just during Lent, but as a constant and perpetual practice of a disciple who's seeking to die to this world, so that we can live forever in the next. It's a radically new and reorientation of our lives. And again, why the liturgical practice of us all facing together is such a beautiful witness to this, that we're all waiting for the Christ who is to come. And when we think about this great saint today, this doctor of the church, St. John Chrysostom, and Chrysostom is not his last name, it's his title, the golden mouth, the golden tongue. He was such an eloquent preacher, and that's the word we had in the opening prayer, by his eloquence. But also through his suffering, it said. Because he was such a passionate preacher, he was able to cut to the heart of those who were listening to him, and they didn't like it, because they had grown comfortable. The church, the clergy in the church, the laity in the church, and the civil leaders had grown comfortable in their convenience. And so when he was calling them to these same measures of dying to self and living for Jesus, they exiled him twice. He was the archbishop, and they kicked him out because they didn't like to hear the truth that he was preaching. The same thing is happening today, where those preachers of the truth are being exiled, figuratively or literally. And so we pray, as the opening prayer says, and as the church prays for us today, that St. John Chrysostom will be a great intercessor for those who are called to preach, that they won't be seeking to be thought well of, but they won't mind when people hate them and exclude them and insult them and denounce them. This is the radical reorientation that's required of us as disciples of Christ. And each one of us in our own lives is called to be a preacher, a proclaimer of the truth. But if we don't hear St. Paul's warning of dying to this world and all the creature comforts that come with it, I mean, we have air conditioning, we have electric light, we have water, we have food on demand, entertainment that we can't even count. We are living the luxurious life that Jesus was warning against, that St. Paul was warning against. And so with humility, we hear these words. And with grace, we put to death the things of this world so that we can live with God forever in the next. Amen.